gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, stephaniemiller.com. The website, Charlie Pierce and Representative John Yarmuth all on the big show today.
Yes.
SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning,
Chris LaVoy.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller.
I just saw something that said Gingrich is floating to the top. What floats to the top besides cream?
I pictured a giant, parade float in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
I would have thought Santorum would have floated.
Yeah,
that's
floatier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and he would know this how.
Well, we opened the show with that.
These candidates, they don't rise; they do float.
Yeah.
They're kind of all floaters. They're just God bless them. All right. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Oh, looky, Chris, you put up, there's a new picture from Buffalo. It's really cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, Joe sent it. We look like little ants.
Yes.
But it's a cool picture. You can see how huge the venues are playing. That's what I feel like. I come out, hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Someone on your Facebook page says, wow, you really went all out on the sets, didn't you?
People not going to Sexy Liberal so much for the sets.
No.
No.
Joseph, the facades were substandard.
Hello, Steph. Attaches an image of your show in Buffalo Saturday night. I have it posted on my blog. I know the image of you is small from the seats I could get. It was well worth it. Your show and the talent you had supporting you, John and Hal, had me laughing the whole evening all day Sunday. I couldn't believe how much the muscles in my cheeks hurt from laughing so much. A lot of face hurting reports.
I've heard that.
Applause. Big fan. Joe. Why, thank you, Joe. Thank you for the picture. Yes, if you have pictures, send them along. Why not? By the way, how sad is this? Speaking of from Western New York, this is very, very sad. Dan from upstate New York. Hi, guys. How sad. This is an actual ad from an upstate New York weekly circular. It literally says 100 T-shirts, 2008 John McCain presidential campaign, assorted sizes, $125.
120. They're expecting to get 125
for 100 of them.
Still, they're expecting to get $125.
Maybe for a Lincoln campaign T-shirt, $125. But
I think that's just so sad. Whatever person thinks someone actually would go, well, hey now, that's exactly what I've been looking for. About 100 McCain T-shirts.
They make good rags, I guess.
I guess what.
No,
that's sadder than Victor the Victory Elephant.
Yeah.
Remember? Remember after the we were leaving the Republican convention
in Minneapolis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we saw, what was it, half price? Or
it was like a bin of
70%
Victor,
off
glut.
Victor the Victory
Victor
Elephant.
Victory
and that was right after the convention. They knew they were screwed.
Yeah, wow.
They were like,
yeah, that was just after we found out about Sarah Palin. It's like,
Oh, no. Oh, Grampy, what did you do?
Yeah, she's sassy. I like her.
Boy. Oh, my God. We're making plans already, to go back to the next conventions.
Let's,
who knows what fresh horror the Republicans will have for us this year. We'll be going to Tampa for that. Very exciting.
Oh, did we break some news just now?
What? No, we're broadcasting the show like we do every convention from the Democratic and the Republican.
Okay.
I don't know. Is that news to you, I guess?
It is. I haven't been.
Why do I give you an E in front of your P if you don't know this?
You haven't clued me into any of these email chains, I suppose?
There's no email chain. It's just chatter.
Oh, just chatter backstage at Sexy Liberal that I'm not going to.
Yes.
Okay.
No,
then.
Not at Sexy Liberal. With Mr. Potter, the guy that owns the show.
Right. You talk to him backstage at all the Sexy Liberal shows.
No, he doesn't even go anymore.
No.
All right. Jamie from Boston. Oh, this is Sexy Liberal. Jamie from Boston writes, which is crazier, listening to Christmas music at gas stations and coffee shops before Veterans Day, or having in hand 2 VIP tickets to the Boston Sexy Liberal show that's 8 months away? When I told my wife I bought the tickets, the first thing she asked is whether it was for the meet and greet. Watch out! All right, bring it, Jamie. I'll put a cup on already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy. The people buying, I'm told Chicago's going insane already. It's
the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Took the Windy City by storm in 2011.
Versus Chicago!
Because of overwhelming popular demand, your favorite progressive comedy trio is taking it back to Chicago.
To Chicago, show me love.
come up in the club.
On March 3rd, at the height of the Republican primary season, insightful satirist John Fugelsang, mischievous heartthrob Hal Sparks, and the stunning seductress Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater.
Bring it!
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Join this record-breaking comedic revolution. It's your best remedy against right-wing distortions.
That's Chicago.
Second City, don't miss this second chance at sexy liberal splendor.
Yeah, yeah, that's our first return date of 2012.
Uh-huh.
It's becoming much more of a special event.
Get back
once
in
a month
car
or so.
And drive back to Chicago. Put on your jacket and get back in a car.
Why is it a special event, Chris? Because the tour has almost killed me.
That's right.
And
okay.
Mama will be cutting back a little.
Yes.
So it's going to be more special event-y. All right. By the way, you know what? I would have Siri fire you for not knowing that we're broadcasting from the conventions if she wasn't so passive-aggressive. And I thought that it was just me.
Uh-huh.
Remember, every time I try, she goes, I don't know what you mean by.
That's right.
Fire, Chris Lavoie.
She pronounces it in the French way.
Lavoie. Except
Lavoie.
There's a T in the end.
Anyway, because someone.
She put a T on there. Lavoie.
Lavoie.
Wow. What?
I don't know.
That's better
you
pronunciation
mean,
than sometimes
no,
I get.
Starting to realize, like, Siri tries to save you from yourself.
Yep.
Because I likely would have, you know, I would do it drunk and then I would regret it and try to hire you back the next day and
yeah.
It would be a whole thing. So
yeah.
She tries to save you from yourself.
Uh-huh. I've heard that about her.
Don't do that. You can't get anyone else that wants to work with you. Don't do it. Do it, Siri! No. You will just come groveling to him the next day. Anyway.
Yeah, groveling while hungover is never good.
Heating grate marks still on my face. Please! Yeah. You know I was drunk. Anyway, someone sent me the iPhone Siri argument. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
It's all over the interwebs. We had to put in some... We posted it, right?
Yes.
On our Facebook, but we had to put in some bleeps. It's a... Yeah.
We have a flat tire.
How do I tie a bow tie again?
What's the fastest way to Hartford Hospital?
Tell my wife I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
Tell my husband I'm not surprised.
Tell my wife if she has a problem with my work schedule, she's more than welcome to get a job of her own.
Tell my husband that I do just as much work as he does.
Tell my wife that if watching Ellen is a job... She should get a promotion.
Message from your husband. I appreciate you.
Well, what did he actually say?
Please don't drag me into this.
Siri, call my husband.
Siri, ignore the call from my bitch wife.
Tell my husband that he said he'd respect my choice to stay at home with our child.
Tell my wife I would, but she can't even get around to washing his overalls.
Did you want me to search for flower shops nearby?
Tell my husband that at least when I sit on the washing machine, I...
Send my wife this picture... And ask her if the washing machine is
the only thing you've been sitting on lately. Oh, dear.
Ask my husband what he means by that.
Tell my wife I think she knows.
Hey, look. I googled anger management techniques.
Tell my husband to think very carefully before he says whatever he's about to say.
Ask my wife if she's Jim McPherson.
Tell my husband how dare he.
Tell my wife that's not an answer.
Is this my fault?
Tell my husband that I will not answer that.
Ask my wife if she's Jim McPherson!
Searching for a place to hide.
Tell my husband he wishes it was just Jim McPherson.
I don't want to.
Tell him!
Please don't make me.
Do it!
Send my wife directions to hell!
Yeah!
Say goodbye to the most amazing iPhone yet.
Yeah. You know, I auditioned for the how to tie the bow tie thing in German.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ward's done everything.
Something like that. Oh. Anyway.
All right. Thank you very much. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
I was telling Chris, and I thought he was too young, but I was like, it reminded me of the airplane scene with the two people that the voices of the, there's no parking in the red zone.
I'm not too young to remember that.
There's no parking. I said, then they get in an argument, the couple.
In fact, right. I remember going to LAX in the 70s when that actually played
the
on loudspeakers.
Zone is for loading and unloading only. You whore.
Yes, exactly. All right. So, wow. Speaking of horrifying, have you watched the video over and over of the kids getting pepper sprayed right in the face?
Oh, yeah.
By that sadistic bastage of a cop?
It's now an internet meme.
Well, Bill Press was talking about that today, and he played a clip of Obama talking about Egyptian protesters and how they have a right to peaceably assemble and not be brutalized like that. But he hasn't yet said a word about this, about the Americans protesting.
Yeah.
And there's been some speculation that the FBI may be involved.
In this local cop?
Yes. In the coordination of all of the...
Right, in all the cities.
See,
I'm on nationwide.
I don't know about the chancellor having to resign. It's not like she said, go pepper spray them in the face. To me, this seems like just a sadistic cop.
No, it's systemic. I mean, it's happening everywhere.
Yeah, but that's all I'm saying is that you could tell this cop was one of those, like, power mad. And by the way, I'm a big fan of cops. I have cop friends. It's not... This guy, first of all, they're sitting with their arms linked. They weren't obviously posing any threat, and that was just to directly spray it in people's eyes and mouth on purpose when they're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just horrifying to watch that. But anyway, I thought there was this great piece by Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times this Sunday called "Occupy the Agenda."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought a great larger point about this whole thing. And we will get to that right after this. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Save my life.
Stephanie Miller.
Save my life.
Can you explain that again, Jim? You need to get up.
You need to get
first
up in order to get down.
Before you get down.
Sure.
Sure. Well, yes, if you were planning to land a plane, it would help first to be airborne.
Certainly. Exactly. So. Thank you. 23 minutes after the hour. Known musicologist Jim Ward. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Mike in Chicago on Occupy. Hey, Mike.
Hey, everyone. You know what, you know what really bothers me is out of all this police brutality going on in every city, not one cop has come forward and said, you know, this is just wrong. We can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, in the mornings they have roll calls, so obviously they're getting their marching orders from their sergeant or whoever, and no one's been, you know, brought this up in the news.
Right, but Mike, my point is that, you know, because I have sympathy for, there's a lot of good cops out there. I'm just saying, like, who doesn't know, cop, layperson, anybody, who doesn't know that it's not right to pepper spray an 83-year-old woman or pregnant woman or kids that are sitting there with their arms linked in the face with mace?
Well, and also this morning I was listening that mace that was used when he at Davis University, it was military grade that you use for bears.
Why?
And, you know, and it's so sad to think that, you know, it's almost become passive now. It's happening so much that it's no longer even interesting in the news anymore. It's just like an everyday occurrence.
I don't think this is just accidental or lone wolf kind of things. I think this is coordinated across the country. And somebody is...
And, you know, I'm wondering, if there's enough people who have been abused by the police. Do you guys know if they can get a class action lawsuit together?
Well, I mean, you know, if this continues like this, I think that, you know, it's bad enough when you get an Iraq vet that gets a tear gas canister in the head or another one that gets a spleen injury, you know? I mean, but I think, you know, honestly, Mike, with television, with pictures, you know, my girlfriend walked in and was watching this yesterday, and she's like, I can't even watch this. This is horrifying. You know, I mean, I think that's the difference. If it, you know, a lot of, like I say, if it's on TV, I think, you know, a lot of people are reacting like we are.
I mean, it's like I'm watching Cairo and I'm watching New York, and the only difference is the people in Cairo are throwing stones.
Right.
That's like the only difference, and it's so sad, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right, thank you, Mike. I thought this piece was really interesting. We'll post it. I just want to read a little bit of it. Nicholas Kristof in the Times, Occupy the Agenda. He said, just an interesting take, Jim. He said, you have to wonder, could Mayor Michael Bloomberg and police chiefs around the country be secretly backing Occupy Wall Street movement? The Occupy protests might have died in infancy if a senior police official had not pepper sprayed young women on video. Then the mayor helped save the demonstrators by clearing them out, thus solving their real estate problem and reestablishing their narrative of billionaires bullying the disenfranchised. Thanks to the mayor, the protests grew bigger than ever, which is what Rude Pundit was saying to us yesterday. I watched in downtown Manhattan last week as the police moved in to drag off protesters and several credentialed journalists, and the action seemed wildly over the top. Sure, the mayor had legitimate concerns about sanitation and safety, but have you looked around New York City? Many locations aren't so clean and safe. And
really?
There aren't usually hundreds of officers in riot gear showing up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
A guy on the street in front of me once in New York. I was like, what are you? Oh, God.
You can see that in downtown L.A., too.
Yeah. The high ground the protesters seized is not an archipelago of parks in...
Archipelago? archipelago.
Whatever. Oh, parks in America, but the national agenda. The movement has planted economic inequality on the nation's consciousness, and it will be difficult for any mayor or police force to dislodge it. Like I was saying yesterday, my favorite quote, Cornel West said, you can't evict an idea whose time has come. A reporter for Politico found that the use of the words income equality quintupled in news database after the Occupy protests began. That's a significant achievement, for this is an issue that goes to our country's values and our opportunities for growth, and yet we in the news business have rarely given it the attention it deserves. The statistic that takes my breath away is this. The top 1% of Americans possess a greater net worth than the entire bottom 90%. That's what this is about. Mm-hmm. In fact, the richest 20% of Americans own more than 80% of the country's wealth. The poorest 20% own 0.1%. Anyway, he's a researcher suggests the U.S. provides less intergenerational mobility than most other industrialized nations do. That's not only because of tax policy, which is what liberals focus on. Perhaps even more important are educational investments like early childhood education to try to even the playing field. We can't solve inequality unless we give poor and working class kids better educational opportunities.
Frankly, if we put them to work as janitors.
Yeah. What are you, nine? Why aren't you at a factory?
Increase the surplus population, frankly. Let's start with the kids.
What the hell is he talking about? Most people start their first job at nine. What?
I mowed a few lawns at nine, but other than that, no.
I delivered the Daily Breeze for a brief period down to beach.
Anyway, the president obviously has talked a lot about this. The Occupy movement is also right that one of the drivers of inequality among many is the money game in politics. A former chair of the commodities futures trading, blah, 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 said in a recent speech many members of Congress knew banks needed to be more tightly regulated, perhaps broken into smaller pieces, blah, blah, blah. Why was it not done? One obvious piece of the answer, both political parties rely heavily on campaign contributions from the financial sector. The solution to these inequalities and injustices is not so much setting up tents at bits of real estate here or there, but a relentless focus on the costs of inequality. So as we move into election year, I'm hoping the movement will continue to morph into Occupy the Agenda. I just thought a really good take on that. I just, you know, the Newt Gingriches of the world going, get a job. You moron, that's exactly what this is about, is the unemployment level and the fact that these corporations are making billions and sitting on it and not hiring.
Yeah, and the University of California used to be free in the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with John Yarmuth on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, my, you are an enchanting creature.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. We love talking to Representative John Yarmuth of Kentucky. Why?
Well, he laughs at your jokes.
He's a great legislature.
Yeah.
Late legislator.
Yeah.
And he's warm and chuckly like Santa.
Yeah.
And it's the holiday season. Good morning, Congressman Yarmuth.
Good morning. That is the first of those, that introduction, I tell you. That's a great one.
You know, thank you. You don't get introduced on TV like that.
Well, thank you, I think.
So let's talk about the Not-So-Super Committee, shall we?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
May it rest in peace.
Yeah. My God. Yeah, who could have seen that coming? Everyone. Yeah, I mean, isn't the crux of it what John Kerry said? He said Grover Norquist is apparently the 13th member of this committee.
Well, that's certainly a big part of it. And, you know, that the only, I mean, they were never willing to give an inch. And, you know, that's kind of the way we are dealing in Congress right now. I love David Brooks' column this morning when he referred to the Grover Norquist pledge as a chastity belt that Republicans wear to show they haven't been defiled by the Washington culture. This was brilliant. But no, that when, you know, they call compromise doing what they want, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I was reading a piece from the New York Times, I think, this weekend. It just, it puts it in such stark terms, Congressman, that this is just, this version of the Republican Party, to me, it's just unworkable. I mean, tax rates were 50% under Reagan. They're 35% now for the top. I mean, and, you know, Reagan raised taxes 11 times. I mean, this version of the Republican Party, they're saying nothing. We're not, because they've signed this stupid pledge. Right?
It's absolutely outrageous, and I'm one of those who believes that that's a violation of your oath of office. If you basically say, I refuse to use some of the powers that have been given to me. I don't know how they comply with their oath.
I think Senator Kerry actually made an important constitutional point. He said, I can't tell you how many times we heard about the pledge. Well, all of us took a pledge to uphold the Constitution and to fully and faithfully well execute our duties. I think that requires us to try and reach an agreement. As everyone keeps saying, who is Grover Norquist? And what you're signing? I mean, that's, I hate to say it, but isn't that un-American? You're signing a pledge to some person and not your country.
I totally agree, and I've been asked by Move On and some of the progressive groups to sign pledges, and I said, no, you can't sign a pledge that basically keeps you from doing your duty.
Yeah,
and that's what the Republicans have done, and it's prevented any meaningful even dialogue about what we ought to do.
Do you think, you look at the same polling I do, that 75% of the American people agree with us. They think that, to balance the deficit, you need to have tax increases on the wealthy. And
well, the American people are clearly un-American.
Yeah. But, I mean, Congressman, it seems like more, even some Republicans are starting to get a little hinky about the Norquist pledge. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think some of them are saying, well, there's a statute of limitations on the pledge, and I didn't mean this to be eternal. So they're reading the handwriting on the wall, too. They're looking at the numbers. On virtually every measure now, Democrats, even in Congress, are polling higher than Republicans. The numbers you mentioned, there's 60% of Americans think that any deficit reduction ought to be balanced and ought to include tax hikes. 68% of millionaires think we ought to raise their taxes. I mean, it's like, who are they representing with this position? They're not representing anybody.
Well, and what about these and the triggers? Obviously, now of course you have Republicans going, oh well, no, we're gonna. We didn't really mean that now. It seems like this is just ungovernable. This country, the way it's, we're currently comprised in the Congress, isn't it?
It's totally broken, and I don't know exactly what the answer is. It's flawed in so many ways, but clearly Congress is at a total impasse, and that's why I've said for months, and I voted against the whole idea of the super committee, because I said, we can't pass anything through two houses right now. Why do we think that we could take something of this importance and come up with something that can pass two houses?
Well, here's the important, the president said yesterday, take a look.
My message to them is simple. No. I will veto any effort to get rid of those automatic spending cuts to domestic and defense spending.
So how is this going to play out?
Well, assuming that nothing dramatic happens over the next 4 or 5 months, which I don't think it will. I mean, I actually think that the president ought to put Bill Simpson back on the table and force Congress to take it up and at least debate it. But assuming that nothing like that happens, we're going to go till after the election. It's going to be lame duck, and we'll be sitting there with two critical things to do. One is to deal with the sequestered cuts, and secondly, the Bush tax cuts. And you talk about an amazing dynamic that we'll see in a lame duck session of Congress. I hope it's not a lame duck session of the presidency. I don't think it will be. But that's going to be an unbelievable period in our history. And the Republicans, I think, at that point will have to blink. Because the last thing they want to see is none of the Bush tax cuts extended.
And
that's the reality.
And this is where I think
the president stands firm, as long as the president's tough and stands firm, then they're going to have to blink at that point.
Yeah, well, I think that's where, the president has been smart long term. I mean, I can't imagine these Republicans that's all they do is waste your time and mine, don't they? I know this balanced budget amendment, you just, obviously opposed it.
God.
It's something they know is not going to happen.
Right.
And they waste Congress's and the country's time with this stuff. It would cut $1.2 trillion from Social Security and limit our ability to invest in infrastructure projects. And they know they don't have the votes, right? But this is what they take up your time with, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, that was actually at least a substantive subject. It's better than reaffirming the In God We Trust and the gun law that they ran through to force every state to recognize the the carrying laws, the gun carrying laws of any state, which drives us all to the lowest common denominator. And
did you just use the word stupid? Because I love that. I think that slipped out. That was your Homer Simpson moment. Stupid gun law. Stupid Republican.
What we ought to do is somebody ought to do is run a picture that deranged picture of Jared Lochner and say, is this the guy you want carrying guns in your town?
Yeah.
Because that's what the but that again, it's a total waste of time. It's not going anywhere. The Senate's not going to take it up.
Right.
So I'm convinced that right now the Republicans, because they don't believe in government, to them, the idea of governing only relates to is only politics. Governing and politics have become the same thing for Republicans because they know if they win elections, then they don't do anything, and that's what they want.
Yeah. So, no, I was in this piece. I was mentioning, and I think it was in the Times over the weekend. That's what people were saying, that it's the same thing I always talk about. The Republican Party not being my dad or Goldwater's party anymore, but it's not even Reagan's party anymore. They talked about the people really, they really did try to reach across the aisle and get things done for the good of the country, but you're right, it has just gotten, their intransigence, I think, is just provably historic, isn't it?
As far as my sense of history is and my knowledge of history, it goes back pretty far. I mean, I worked on the Hill in the 70s, and when Republicans and Democrats did govern, I mean, you had your campaign, the campaign was over, and then you got to work.
Yeah.
And certainly politics informed the way you governed or tried to govern. But there was a clear difference in mentality once the election was over. Today, that doesn't exist.
Right. Well, that's what I keep saying, Congressman, is that, at this point, you go, divided government clearly does not work. All I can say is you got to get out and vote and give the president more, true Democrats that are going to get the things done that 75% of the American people in poll after poll want done.
Absolutely right. It's all about elections. And last year, I'm sure there's tons of buyer's remorse out there. I know, talking to some of my Republican colleagues, and I do talk to them. And
so, really?
And they're feeling the heat, and they're not exactly sure what they should do right now, because they understand that they're on the wrong side of virtually every issue, and that this kind of obstructionism is not going to be rewarded. So.
Well, that's how we magically end every interview, that we need a Congress full of John Yarmouths.
Yes.
Let's get me that for Christmas. All right. Representative John Yarmouth of the great state of Kentucky. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Stephanie. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
You do. Happy
you too,
Thanksgiving.
Aw.
The chuckly John Yarmouth.
Yes. Love him.
Let's go to Jill in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, first of all, I want to give you an unsolicited testimony to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, why, okay. Thank you. Why, please.
Okay. My second childhood was at the Second City in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Where, I worked there for 10 years. I heard a lot of brilliant political and social satire and fart jokes.
Sure,
yes.
Sure.
And now, since I moved to a small town in Wisconsin, you keep me sane.
Oh.
So,
well,
thank you.
Madison isn't lacking for comedy. That's where The Onion was born.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I'm actually in a small town, 30 miles east.
Okay. All right.
So.
Somebody told me the worst place to tell a joke ever is in the offices of The Onion, because no one laughs, because they're all the smartest, funniest people in the room.
Too smart for that.
That's good. I'm stealing that.
Yeah. I had one comment I wanted to make. I was musing, and I thought, I'm so tired of hearing about, how, Republicans, we should run our government the way we run our homes, being fiscally responsible and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, well, in my home, I make sure everyone's taken care of, comfortable, I don't just leave people behind and,
Right.
So that was my comment.
You literally leave no child behind.
Literally, I have a lot of teenagers in my home all the time.
And I'm sure you'd like to leave them behind sometimes, because teenagers be teenagers. All right. Thank you, Jill. All right. Appreciate it. Let's go to Sue in Maryland. Hey, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Happy turkey, you all.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
Mm-hmm.
Gobble.
Thank you so much. Have enjoy. Listen, I never thought I would say this, but I agree with Newt.
No.
We need to abolish the child labor laws, because every 9-year-old I know would make a far better congressperson than these Republican idiots currently in office.
So I have reason to believe this is a Republican thing, because my parents, actually, they did force me into hard labor as a child. I had to, clean out window wells, and it was, mud and earthworms in there, and pull out dandelions from the cracks in the sidewalk in front of our house. I don't know, they would just devise, jobs that were I didn't get paid.
It's called chores, being a kid.
I'm going to take all the bar babies and make them start working at the bar. They can sweep up and, you know, tap the kegs.
Yes. What do you mean you can't stand yet?
Well, most patrons can't stand either.
Babies are like drunk patrons anyway in the bar. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is
that
the.
For?
Oops, are we on already?
Yes.
I usually save that for the commercial breaks. 51 minutes. 51 minutes. Yay. I'm a big girl. 1-800-STEP-12 phone number toll free from anywhere. Cordell in Kentucky. Hi, Cordell.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Normally, I would open by saying I'm your official screenwriter, but I don't feel much like being in my official role this morning.
Okay.
Yesterday, I had a couple life-changing events that I wanted to let you know what happened to me. My partner of 10 years broke up with me yesterday.
Oh, honey.
And it, you know, after a couple hours of literally crying my brains out, I started thinking about when you came out over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last several years, I've been fighting and fighting the urge to, you know, finally tell my family the truth. And I replayed that conversation you had with everybody over and over in my head. And finally, I decided to just get brave. And, you know, I called my mom and came out to my mom. And, you know, I was really afraid that she was going to reject me. But to my surprise, not only did she not reject me, but she said that she and the family already knew I was gay.
Oh, yeah, you're going to make me cry now. Don't do that to me.
Sweetie. It's just, you know, when I made a decision last night to call in, you know, I knew if I could get support from anyone, it would be from you guys.
Oh,
you
sweetie.
Joy to my life.
Oh, honey, you're going to make me cry now. I cried enough on my coming out show. Don't make me come out and cry on yours.
I'm sorry.
No, you know, honey, that means the world to me. And I got to say, I wish everyone had the experience you and I did, because that's the same experience I had. I spent 15 years, you know, judging my family, thinking they'd judge me. You know, I thought they're Republican, they're Catholic, they're not going to accept me. And, you know, I lost 15 years of closeness, and they all were to a person really great about it. And, I, you know, so that's the thing. I think, you know, if you feel safe, and I know everybody's in a different situation, but that's just a beautiful story, sweetie. And I'm sorry, he's a bastard, and I hate him, whoever your partner was. I'm so sorry. We've all been there.
Well, thank you so much. You know, right now I'm really interested in wanting to move on, you know, with my life. You know, I'm trying to break into the business to do what you're doing. And, you know, it's kind of hard to do when you live in the Midwest. But,
you know, I would aim higher than what I do, but I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Aw, oh, sweetie, thanks for sharing that. And hang in there. Hang in there. You got your mom on your side now.
So all right. Much, and I will continue to listen. I just need you all to continue to brighten my day for me.
Cordell, thanks for that, honey. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, dear. Aww. God, all right, you guys talk amongst yourself. I'll be over here weeping in the corner in a fetal position.
Well, it's up to you to brighten his day every day now.
Yeah. It's your job.
Yeah, do it, Steph. Come on.
Start brightening now. Go.
Speaking of love letters, I just got another love letter that throws you two under the bus, so
what?
I'm happy to read it.
Hey.
Thank you. It's another from another Jim, in fact. He writes, Steph, I've long thought about writing to you about something that happens on your show entirely too often. When Stephanie is in the middle of reading something very important, has the attention of the audience, then comes to a word that she may mispronounce or is struggling with, it
never
really
happens.
Screws up the thought process of the listener when she is corrected within a snide way or is laughed at. It would be nice I think what he's getting at is I need the respect I'm entitled to.
Yeah.
It would be nice.
What was today's Archipelago.
Archipelago.
Archipelago?
Archipelago.
You're proving Jim's point. It would be nice.
Let's go to Archipelago Land.
It would be nice.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
If she were just kindly supported and helped along instead.
Mm-hmm.
Children love Archipelago.
Personally, I've had that kind of thing happen by the men in my life, the one being Republican, and he gets a particularly evil laugh if I make a blunder. I know he's never been happy I joined the family, but that's something he'll go to his grave regretting. Yes, with that, I get the last laugh. I digress, sorry. Just hits close to home when I hear the put-downs. I bet others experience this, too. Thank you. The difference between
Jim, the letter writer, and you is that you talk for a living. Jim does
Listen,
not.
His point is that you disparage me entirely
disparage.
Too much.
Disparage!
See, I did that on purpose. See what I did there? See what I did there? I ended with a punchline because
you'd have to be on a barge to be disbarged.
Okay.
I think even Harry Shearer corrected you once.
Yes.
When you kept saying pundit.
The well-known pundit?
Yeah. And he said, I believe it's pronounced pundit.
I offered him some gum. Would you like some Trident pundit?
There's only one N in pundit.
Yeah.
All right. God. It's like having two annoying big brothers. Jonathan in Pennsylvania. One big brother, one little brother. Whatever. Hello, Jonathan in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Mrs. Miller, you are totally awesome.
Thank you. I'm just
calling because I don't understand how the Super Congress could not succeed even with so much public attention. It doesn't make sense. I mean, they're elected and that's great, but how could they still not succeed?
Well,
yeah. Well,
they did succeed according to Republicans if they.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Gawker has a great piece. The super committees collapse, an exciting new breakthrough in phallology.
Yeah.
Who is to blame for the failure of our glorious experiment in government engineering, the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction, a.k.a. Super Committee, to meet the public's desire for trillions of dollars in spending cuts and tax hikes the public doesn't want? Our best guess is that the super committee that is to blame is for the failure of the super committee. Others would disagree. This is a strange bird in the field of congressional fail science.
But now they want to change the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like, well, we didn't mean it. Except the automatic
Triggers.
Spending cuts.
That was a joke. Gawker writes, the last 7 months of congressional activity has been performance art, right? If so, hats off to the folks who came up with that hilarious idea to play hyper-politics with a routine debt ceiling hike. This has been one hell of a show.
And now the Republicans say, well, if only Obama had gotten involved.
Yeah, Mitt Romney said that's Obama's fault,
sure, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
But if he had gotten involved, said, stop your meddling! Yeah.
We have a whole slew of those sound bites coming up next hour.
Do we not?
Yes.
Oh, Teasy McTeaserson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's do one now, shall we, Mittens? Okay. This is Mittens on how it's all the president's fault.
He's been out doing other things, campaigning and
blaming,
traveling. Mm-hmm. This is, in my view, inexcusable. It's almost like a trap has been sent,
set.
A trap has been set to say, look, we can cut the military even more.
Mm.
Oh, you moron.
Mm-hmm. And he mispronounced something. Moron. I just disparaged him. 58 minutes after the hour. Would you like some whiskers for your cat?
No! No!
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward. Lots of people so happy. Voice deity, Jim Ward's back all 3 hours. Full strength. Power up.
Yeah.
The Stephsons in full force. Here.
The Stephanie Miller
Show is just turning into gibberish, really.
Boy,
I think of you as my irritating little brother or something. There must be some pictures of a sexy liberal of my girlfriend Lisa.
Oh,
human animal hybrids are people. No, they're not. Yes, they are.
I know that. You think I don't know that?
I'm struggling to find enough words with the letter L.
Jane, stop this crazy thing!
No.
Got the sprocket like a key in my outer jacket pocket.
That was one of our lines in the Jeffins movie.
Was it?
Yes.
Wow. You still remember your lines you had to read?
Wow.
Well, that was, you know, mnemonic.
Hey, looky
here. Mnemonic.
Yeah. Exactly. Device. Looky here, another unsolicited testimony for the power of the Stephcast from Reed in Minnesota.
Mm.
Steph, I've been a yearly subscriber to the Stephcast since 2006, only $59.40. Oh, I've never added that up. When you pay in advance, bling.
Wow.
Oh, bling.
All right.
And this is the best money I spend all year. This $59.40 bling. It's actually gling. Right.
Wasn't that a Van Halen album? No, it's 51.
Provides me hundreds of hours of entertainment. Think of it. You make me laugh. Sometimes you make me cry. I'm not sure if that's intentional, but I.
Okay.
Either way, and you always inspire me. Thank you.
Oh. Hey, get the podcast.
And with the holidays coming up, it makes a wonderful holiday gift.
Yes, indeed.
Why, yes.
From Ronco.
How much would you pay for one of these?
It is from Ronco.
Ooh, we're going to have some exciting, sexy liberal merch, in fact, in time for holiday gifts.
Are we?
Yes, and another, a really exciting thing. I can't announce it yet. Okay. Brian in Tanawanda, which is, of course,
up the transit
from Lackawanna.
Cheektowaga.
Lackawanna. In Mama's hometown of Lakeport.
Mm-hmm. On the Skajaktwa.
No, the transit, not the Skajakwa.
Okay.
Sounds like a disease.
Don't you know anything?
Sorry.
Sorry, Siri, you have Skajakwa.
Siri, fire Crystal Black.
I do not understand. What do you mean?
Yeah, we'll play that again. Mm-hmm. Hi, Hilarious. It's up on our Facebook page. Yeah. What is it called? The Siri iPhone Siri argument with the couple.
Yeah.
Hilarious. All right, Steph, thanks for playing at Shays on Saturday. John Hallen, you just kept the laughter rolling. There was no downtime except for one of you left the stage for the next to appear.
Hmm.
Two highlights. When the guy from New Jersey said to ease up on Chris and Jim, and you said you love them, they're some of your best friends. Oh, I was lying. I was drunk.
Yeah.
When you said, I had a crush on Jim Kelly, am I right, ladies? And there was total silence. How the hell do I know what straight girls... I thought everyone had a crush on Jim Kelly, the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. That's how old I am. O.J. Simpson was the star of the Buffalo Bills when I was growing up. I was like, what's he been up to since then?
Did you
and then, of course,
up...
I whipped out my French connection.
Yeah, I was about ready to say.
Mm-hmm.
Guy Lafleur!
No, not Guy Lafleur. It was Don Martin.
Martin.
Martin. No, it's Martin.
Is it?
René Robert and Gilbert Parot. With a goal.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, then. All right. And sexy liberal rolls on the big year-end show extravaganza with maybe one, maybe two special guests.
You don't say.
Recount your blessings, Sunshine State.
Oh, you can almost taste the sunshine.
Because Stephanie Miller is coming to South Florida.
What? Is she finally moving to the villages?
No. The state with the least popular governor is welcoming this year's most popular comedy tour, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. And it's gonna be hot.
How hot? When would you like it?
Very hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On December 10th, the Broward Center's Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale will host the Sexy Liberal Players, led by progressive beach babe, Stephanie Miller.
The exotic dancer under the name of Marie, the Flame of Florida.
Tickets are available at BrowardCenter.org or by calling 877-311-SHOW. That's 877-311-7469. South Florida, spring break is coming early this season and the forecast calls for Cat 5 Sexy Liberal Laughter.
Yeah, too hot. All right, get it. Tickets going fast everywhere. Check it out. By the way, Sexy Liberal Facebook, did you put this little montage together that somebody sent us of the, it was like an art piece.
I didn't put it together. I put it up there.
Yes, it's a thing from the Orpheum, and I think also the LA show. They did some sort of art piece picture of the Sexy Liberal show. It's Larry. It's brilliant.
Beautiful.
It is Beauty Paul. It is Beauty Paul. Beauty Paul.
Yes, that is up there.
Beauty Paul. Okay. All right, so much more to get to. We have Charlie Pierce coming up. Felicia in Brooklyn, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Oh, gosh, I love you, Stephanie. Hi, folks.
I love you, too.
I was just calling because I know you guys are always checking out everything. You guys have me, like, if I don't listen to you in the daytime, I go crazy. I just want to be officially the Rastafarian, your sister, from Brooklyn, New York. Because I know that you don't have a Rastafarian.
I do not have a
sister. So.
From every other borough but Brooklyn.
That's right. That's right. And I just wanted to say, I was watching, what's his name, McLaughlin on Sunday, and they had Pat Buchanan on. And it just surmised everything that the Republican Party is. He said, it's not corruption. It's not a crime. It's just corruption.
Ah, beautiful.
And I'm like...
Pat Buchanan, of course, worked for Dick Nixon.
Yeah, hello.
FYI.
What? I mean, that just made my head... I went to banging into the wall. I'm like, is this man serious? It's not. Yeah. I'm like, crime is a corruption.
He is, as John McLaughlin would say,
wrong!
Wrong!
Yes! Eleanor Cliff, wrong!
Wrong!
Eleanor Cliff is always wrong, according to
I didn't say anything.
McLaughlin.
It's that...
Eleanor,
you're a liberal, so you're always wrong!
I didn't say anything.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not arguing.
I'm not
with
arguing with you about that. I'm
oh,
not
by the
arguing
way,
you about that.
I love this piece. Speaking of Nixon, Gawker writes, Henry Kissinger.
Oh, yeah.
It's odd when a Nixon tape surfaces and it's not him saying something anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gawker says, it seems like every time the powers that be release a nugget of history from Richard Nixon's noxious crypt, it contains a choice anti-Semitic moment. This time, it's not Nixon's vivid and vulgar Jew hatred on display. It's Henry Kissinger, a Jew, calling his people the most self-serving group of people on the planet. They were trying to serve themselves by begging for the White House help in rescuing Jews stuck behind the Iron Curtain from Soviet oppression. Jews, it's never enough with these people.
Oh, boy.
Which is why, according to the newly released transcripts from the State Department, Kissinger responded to a desperate request for assistance from Golda Meir by complaining to a colleague, is there a more self-serving group of people than the Jewish community?
Oh, boy.
But, Henry, you're a Jew.
Yes, but I'm a German Jew.
Gawker writes, no, and chatty, too. You can't even tell bastards anything in confidence because they'll leak it.
Oh, boy.
Never trust a chatty Jew.
What a mensch.
Yeah. Henry Kissinger.
Didn't he get a Nobel Peace Prize for extending the war into Cambodia and Laos?
People were crazy back
awesome.
Then.
Wow, I just got to look at this art piece. I forgot it's a giant thing. Like Hal Sparks looks like King Kong teabagging me. So
yeah.
It's a giant thing of him teabagging me, and then it's the panel with Lily Tomlin in L.A. underneath that. A little bit disturbing.
So conceivably, he could be tagging Lily Tomlin as well.
I don't know. That was in San Francisco. He was teabagging me, and then I don't know why those images were chosen, but nicely done.
With
compelling.
A giant Orpheum
go
marquee.
To Sexy Liberal Facebook, and where else is it?
At your Facebook page.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
There you go.
And on your Google Plus page.
Somewhat disturbing, yet hypnotic. The eyes follow you. It's my eyes while I'm being teabagged.
Yeah.
So it's me, my eyes saying, please help me. Someone get this man off me.
Yeah. Never mind.
All right. Luann in Rochester.
Got a man waiting for me.
Oh, I can't believe I'm actually talking to you.
Oh, my God. Me neither. So great.
I was in Buffalo at the Buffalo show, and I had such a good time. It was so great to laugh like that.
Oh, Luann, I heard my old pal, Brother Weeze, was plugging it all week for me. What a mensch.
I was hoping he would be there.
I know. I thought, we tweeted him and wondered if he was coming, but he's a busy man. You know how it is.
Yes. Well, I was sitting in the pit, so I got to have very warm and wonderful hugs.
Aw.
But I was so dumbstruck with fan awe and admiration, I forgot to ask you if I could be the official... I can't talk.
That's okay.
Official middle-aged Zen Buddhist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
So
we
done.
One.
So done. Yeah, I'm kind of handsy, aren't I?
Wow, we got a Rastafarian and a Buddhist today.
No, the Rastafarian lady gave me courage to call.
There you go. There you go. I hope you enjoyed your groping.
You were wonderful.
Oh, thank you, sweet.
And you've done so much to keep me sane. I really appreciate it.
You know what? Luann, we hear that a lot, and that really frightens me for America. If anybody is hinging their sanity on me, that is... You are screwed, but I love you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Luann. That's free. Why is everybody being so sweet today? See, that's why I need you two to balance it out and be bastards to me all the time.
Wow.
Treacherous
yeah.
bastards. All he is. All right, the president on the not-so-super committee. President
the only way these spending cuts will not take place is if Congress gets back to work and agrees on a balanced plan to reduce the deficit by at least $1.2 trillion.
That's why the
you're not the boss of me!
Well,
yeah,
put in there! Oh, yeah, I mean, that's exactly why they were put in there, these
mm-hmm.
triggers.
Yep.
Just in case you haven't heard, it's all over. Super committee.
Not
has
so
admitted
super.
Defeat.
Thanks
yeah, yeah. Thanks for asking. And they don't look cute in any hat. with the panels with Wednesday, that's tomorrow. Deadline looming. Democrats, Republicans say they're too far apart.
Yeah, they had to have, there was a filing deadline of 48 hours before the actual Wednesday deadline, so that's why they quit yesterday.
Yeah, quit in time.
Yep.
Yeah, they're like Fred Flintstone getting out of the quarry.
Yeah, they slid down the dinosaur tail.
Yeah, quit time.
Yeah.
After the terms of the law that created the super committee this summer, a stalemate triggers automatic spending cuts of $1.2 trillion, as the president just said. The amount of deficit reduction the panel was tasked with achieving. The idea, and it was a good one, is that the automatic cuts would be so unpopular they create an incentive for the super committee to actually do something.
No.
Not even super, just something.
Just something, yeah, regular.
Yeah. By law, 18% of the savings, or $216 billion, is assumed to come from reduced interest payments. That leaves $984 billion in actual cuts divided equally between defense and domestic programs.
We didn't mean it when we signed on to this.
I'm not doing it now.
Can't we do it? No.
Yeah, well, we'll tell you what they are, and good or bad, as we continue 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Before we have a well-known naysayer, Charlie Pearson, I'd like to read a letter from Maureen in Natwick, Massachusetts. Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks. Ed Schultz got it right yesterday. He said at last the Democrats listened to their constituents and stood up to the Republicans. They refused to cut vital programs in order to make the super-rich even richer. They need to keep that backbone and maybe clone it for the rest of the Democrats. I actually think this was a victory for the 99%.
Mm-hmm.
And the president may indeed be playing chess and not checkers, the president yesterday.
There will be no easy off-ramps on this one. We need to keep the pressure up to compromise, not turn off the pressure.
So, defense cuts, there's disagreement on how damaging they would be. Of course, Leon Panetta, who is defense secretary, said, facing such large reductions, we'd have to reduce the size of the military sharply, to which I say, good. Good.
Yeah, get the hell out of Iraq for one thing.
And there are some redundancies that could be gotten rid of.
Yes.
And
which,
there are redundancies that could be gotten rid of.
And also there's redundancies, I'm told.
Two, in addition.
In addition, there's redundancies. Don't you think so, Chris?
I believe there are some redundancies.
You know, there's some things that are repeated in there as well, Jim,
yes,
that really could be cut.
Repetition is very,
because
very
they're repetitious.
Good. Repetition is good. Repetition
what?
Is good. Nothing. No
matter. Okay. Many others say those dire warnings are overblown. He said, he said doomsday. He actually said the word doomsday scenario, Panetta, in his letter. If the automatic cuts go into effect, defense spending would fall by about 11% to only $472 billion in 2013.
Oh, that's all.
How can we get by on that?
It's about only like a million times that everyone else is spending in the world.
Yeah, A, and B, it's the same level we had in 2007, when you remember we were such a paltry force in the world back then. We could cut even deeper to a budget of around $425 billion annually and still spend more than four times the amount budgeted by our closest competitor, China.
Well, we need to spend 150 times.
So you're not macho if you can't blow up the world 18 times over. If it's only seven, you're a puss. The range of cuts being discussed is still well within the proportions of drawdowns after the ends of the Korean, Vietnam, and Cold Wars. Aviation Week wrote recently, even the most drastic cuts will not end the U.S. superpower status. Grandma can relax mostly, too. Social Security, okay. Medicare cuts are limited to 2% of that program's budget will come from reductions in payments to doctors and hospitals, not from cuts to seniors' benefits. Also exempt are several programs that benefit the poor, unemployment insurance, Medicaid, food stamps, among others, as well as those that benefit veterans. So I'm thinking maybe this trigger's not so bad.
No.
Which is what the president might have figured out in the first place. So what does that leave? Several other programs, though, in the social safety net, low-income housing vouchers, the Head Start Early Education Program, public health initiatives, those are likely to be on the chopping block. This just all kills me in that the rich just need to pay their fair share, and you don't need to do any of this.
No, but we just returned to the Reagan levels of taxation.
The EPA,
but Grover Norquist made them sign a pledge.
Mm-hmm. The EPA, NASA, National Parks, National Institutes of Health could be affected. Lawmakers opposed to the cuts have more than a year to pass legislation that would eliminate the triggers. And some Republicans are already pushing a bill that would stop them from taking offense.
The defense cuts. The other ones they want to keep in.
Yes, of course.
Or increase. Yeah.
The automatic trigger was approved by Congress a few months ago. I'm told it's not going to be so easy for them to do that.
No.
And the White House, as we just played,
will veto it.
Yes, has said they will.
And they don't have a veto-proof majority.
The boner, who must be weeping into his rusty nail right now, said that he'd feel bound to honor the trigger. But as usual, he's going to get pressure from his crazy lunatic caucus. All right, Jake, the president's carny.
Congress assigned itself a task, wrote a law, voted for it, president signed it. They have to hold themselves accountable. They have to,
no, we don't.
To do the things that
Shut
American
up.
Families do every day, which
uh-huh.
is live within their means and take responsibility for their own actions.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. We didn't mean it. We had our fingers crossed behind our backs when we signed it.
Sheesh.
Sheesh. And Senator John Kerry on the committee.
We Democrats put a $4 trillion plan on the table. We had $1.3 trillion of cuts, and we had $1.3 trillion of revenue. Now, some of that revenue, we're not asking that to happen tomorrow or the next day. It can happen in a year. This is a 10-year plan and longer. So we have the ability here to be able to do something that's fair for all Americans. But unfortunately, you know, this thing about the Bush tax cuts and the pledge to Grover Norquist keeps coming up. Grover Norquist has been the 13th member of this committee without being there. I can't tell you how many times we hear about the pledge. Well, all of us took a pledge to uphold the Constitution and to full and faithfully
yes.
and well execute our duties. And I think that requires us to try to reach an agreement.
Senator
so we
Kerry.
Have to compromise.
By the way, you know, Norquist said on the TV he wants to crush the other team. Some of his team members starting to get a little... A little mushy, a little hinky on him.
Yeah.
Mike Simpson said, I didn't know I was signing a marriage agreement. Republican Frank Wolf blasted Norquist for paralyzing Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Reed Kibble, a Republican of Wisconsin.
Reed Kibble?
Yeah. Right. Ribble. Sorry, Ribble.
You had dogs on the brain.
He vowed to never sign another pledge, noting the last straw came when Norquist wouldn't let Republicans close tax loopholes that subsidize ethanol production.
Ethanol.
Former GOP Senator Alan Simpson said if Grover Norquist is the most powerful force in America, he should run for president rather than peddle his influence backstage. Uh-huh. We'll see what Charlie Pearson thinks of that kibble next. We'll feed it to him on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Joel in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steph, I want you to know that with Disparge, that you were probably right and the mooks were wrong.
How in the world?
Well, you see, a sparge is an inert gas that is injected into some kinds of food packaging, let's say potato chip bags.
So it's a fart joke.
Yeah, see?
And,
disparge.
Oh, yeah. And so if you disparge something, you are removing the gas from them. So,
thank you, Mike.
Expelling gas.
Joel,
this is a neologism of your own device, perhaps, but I thoroughly endorse it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you. All right. See? Mike and
I
Austin Dry,
like
Steph, if you can't pronounce archipelago, could Tom Brokaw say it instead?
Archipelago.
Much better. Yikes, I got something else wrong? No way.
Probably.
Uh-oh. Hang on. This is very important Buffalo news. Steph and Chris, the Buffalo Sabres French Connection was comprised of Gilbert Perreault, Randy Robert, and Rick Martin, not Don Martin.
Oh. Don Martin's from Mad Magazine.
No, Don Martin is also from...
from Clear Channel here in L.A.,
yeah.
Our friend.
Our former
Stop
boss.
Stop saying Don Martin! Okay, sorry. Rick Martin. Rick. All right,
Jacques Martin.
I'm irritating people that are not here in the studio with me, but they're screaming at the radios. You stupid slut.
Charlie Pierce.
It's Rick Martin.
Charlie Pierce was probably correcting you because Charlie Pierce is a sports writer, too.
Oh, whatever. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
By the way, Chris, nice save, Chevrier.
Thank you.
Yeah, he'll appreciate that reference, won't you, Charlie Pierce?
Hey, Steph, you're rocking the NHL references tonight.
There you go.
Yeah, the 1970s NHL references.
Well, that's the Sabres, unfortunately. I mean, the 1970s were the golden era.
Yeah.
There you go.
You didn't mention the great French team on those Buffalo Bills teams, Joe Delamalure.
Oh.
Tom Brokaw's least favorite
professional.
I'm trying to jolly you up, Charlie Pierce, because we're going to have a slap fight over the super committee and your naysaying.
Well, I'm just
tremendously glad that, you know, the super committee, which both Newt Gingrich and I think was a terrible idea, failed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but
that it failed.
But I don't
I'm
know if
overjoyed
you,
that it failed.
Yeah, but I was, I don't know if you heard this letter I just read, but, you know, that she was saying, I think Ed Schultz is right, that this was a victory for the 99%, that the Democrats stood up to the Republicans finally, and they didn't cave to doing, you know, cuts to entitlements
well,
with no tax
increases. I will give them the no cave award when they actually stand firm on those defense cuts.
Yeah,
because I don't think those are going to happen.
You know, really?
I think they're going to find a way to get around that trigger. Because I don't think the Democrats want to run as the party who gutted defense.
Yeah, but, you know, we were just reading the facts on defense cuts. And am I crazy? They don't sound that bad to me. So what? We're back to 2007 levels? Why is that bad? We're getting out of...
They don't sound bad to me either, but the attack ads write themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the problem. I mean, they don't sound that bad to me either, but that's not the point. The point is that the Democrats signed on to a deal that however they were going to do it would cut Medicare, cut Medicaid, raise taxes, and not having gotten that deal, they're going to run on a trigger that their own Secretary of Defense says will leave us naked before our enemies.
Yeah.
And by the way, Leon Panetta should shut his freaking pie hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was a little much, right? Doomsday scenario, and that was a little it was a little Mars attack.
Yeah, who exactly does Leon Panetta work for?
Yeah, well,
you know,
right. So
anyway.
All right. Well, so what do you make of the president saying I will veto it, though?
Let's see.
Okay.
I want to see him veto, but I'm not entirely sure they won't present him something he can't veto. I don't know what they're going to do or what the parliamentary maneuvering is going to be, but there's absolutely no way the Republicans are going to let this defense budget trigger go off.
I mean, Charlie, the problem for me is it just, you know, I've been citing this piece that just really struck me in the, you know, because you have obviously a keen sense of political history as well, but just that, you know, put the basic facts out on the table, which is what I'm always saying, is this is just, it's not even Ronald Reagan's party anymore. He raised taxes 11 times. It's like tax rates were 50, the top tax rate 50% under Reagan, 35% now, and they've all signed this ridiculous pledge. This is the most ridiculous.
They gave each other a pledge, unthinkable.
But my point is, it's just
come on,
these Republicans are such.
If you can do hockey, I can do show tunes. Come on.
I mean, I think that this version of the Republican Party is so bad and so ridiculous that I just don't even. That's why I have a hard time, you know, blaming the president for this, as Mitt Romney did.
I'm not blaming the president for the collapse of the super committee. No, the super committee was going to collapse because there were Republicans on it.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
The problem with the super committee.
Charlie,
I don't know that they ever should have signed on to it at all. The Democrats ever should have signed on to it at all. But you know that's a lot of water under the bridge now.
Charlie,
I don't want to hear Jay Carney talk about the problem being Congress. I don't want Congress. I don't want Washington. The problem is the Republicans.
Right.
The Republicans have no problem blaming the Democrats.
Yeah.
The Democrats, as embodied by the spokespeople for this administration,
seem to
have a real problem blaming Republicans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of Democrats very strongly came out on the Sunday shows and blamed Republicans. Charlie, I think it's clear. When 75% of the American people want what the Democrats were trying to get done in this committee, I mean, it's what do you say about that?
The Democrats have to acknowledge that.
Well, you acknowledge that and you keep saying it over and over and over and over again. That's
mm-hmm.
what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because 75% of the American people don't realize it, that 75% of the American people agree with most
right.
of what the Democrats are saying.
Charlie, let me ask you about up your way. Elizabeth Warren, you know, wow, that is, I mean, she's turning out to be a great candidate, and that's going to be a close race.
So far she's really been a natural, which, you know, I mean, I'll be frank with you, I'm kind of surprised, because you don't just jump into politics at this level
right.
and do what she's doing. But boy, is this going to be a bloodbath. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there are going to be millions and millions and millions of dollars thrown into this thing.
Right.
And, you know, it's a pretty savvy electorate up here.
And apparently, Scott Brown is a brand new Wall Street reformer. Apparently.
Yes, he is. Miracles will happen. He's taken more money, I think, more campaign contributions from Wall Street than any other senator. But at the moment, he's a reformer.
Yes, apparently.
He took the old barn coat out of Mars Falls, and in the pocket he found, you know, a card saying he's a Wall Street reformer. So now he's put the barn coat on, climb back in the truck and be a Wall Street reformer for a while. I would love to see him in a debate defend his credentials on Wall Street reform against Elizabeth Warren. I think that would be kind of hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, but in some ways, I mean, what she's talking about is the underpinning of this whole Occupy movement, isn't it? I mean, her work is the basis of that.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I, I mean, I I think that giving any politician credit or any political figure or any national figure credit for what I really do believe is a spontaneous uprising is kind of a dodgy game. But there's no question that she was arguing essentially the same issues for years.
Right.
I mean, her work simply on the, you know, the stuff that's written in Elvish on the back of your credit card bill is the basis for.
Well, Charlie, that's why I'm saying what I hope. I mean, I don't know, like you say, no one really controls it. That's what I hope Occupy turns into, is getting to the polls and getting more Elizabeth Warren's in there.
Well, I'm not entirely sure if the Occupy movement should do that, but I certainly think we should have more Democrats than Elizabeth Warren responding to the pressures of the Occupy movement. So
right.
We look at the Occupy movement and say, hey, look, there's a political advantage to be gained for me here.
Yeah.
Why don't I take it out for a spin and see how it works? I mean, I really wish there were more people doing that than Elizabeth Warren. I don't see, you know, a generation of candidates springing up the way the Tea Party generation of candidates sprung up in 2010. I don't see it yet. It may still come. I just don't see it yet.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the candidates, so Michelle Bachmann what's today? Tuesday. So she said something ridiculous again. She told reporters the president has never wanted to take personal responsibility. I don't know what that means. Some of his relatives still live in huts, and he has once, you know, gone through Harvard and become president of the United States. Apparently that is their version of, I don't know.
But taking responsibility for what? Anything?
I don't know. Chris, what did she mean by that? It's hard to even decipher, decode, and Michelle Bachmann.
Really, anything. I mean, you know, it's just a dog whistle to the base.
Yes. He's a lazy, shiftless black man, I think,
yeah.
Is your point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Michelle has a book to sell now. I mean, Michelle, there's purpose to Michelle's life again. Core of Conviction, which I thought was a Jefferson Airplane album. But then I realized that was Crown of Creation.
Yeah, and she has quite a few difficulties with facts in her new book, apparently.
Facts have a liberal bias.
Kidding, really?
Yeah, she got a lot of facts wrong about herself.
Did she have Bill O'Reilly's ghostwriter?
By the way, speaking
you
of
love it when you get you gotta love it when you get when you get your nether parts kicked by the historian at Ford's Theater.
Yeah.
So, by the way, another obviously you were in Mittens was your governor back there in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So we had another controversy yesterday.
Well, I think in government we should follow the law.
Uh-huh.
And there has never been an administration that has provided to the opposition research team or to the public electronic communications.
Wow.
So ours would have been the first administration to have done so.
Mm.
Yeah, he ordered his staff to destroy emails.
Ah,
really?
And all his government
office.
Records.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Huh.
And then his defense is that nobody else had to do it before, so therefore don't talk to me about it now.
Yeah,
right.
I guess so.
Yeah.
He's ready to crack, by the way. The disdain for the lower orders of beings is right there on the surface. I mean, it really is. I mean, he's within inches of reminding everybody in the Republican Party why they hated him 4 years ago.
Yeah, what do you think he was afraid of, Charlie? Could there be some sort of inconsistencies that might be revealed in his current position?
I think the, holy cow, what a great idea the individual mandate is, email. Probably got deleted first.
Yeah. They wore out the delete button.
And all the emails he sent to the log cabin Republicans up here saying he's going to be gayer than Ted Kennedy.
Yes, exactly. Charlie Pierce, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Had a great holiday, you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
All right,
you got
see
it,
next
Charlie.
Week. There you go. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, Becky, look at her bed. It is so big. They only talk to her.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she looks like a total prostitute.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Baby got ballet kicks in the open
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. The not-so-super-super committee. John Kerry again yesterday. Senator
There's
John.
A time limit on us. It's coming down to hours because there has to be a filing 48 hours ahead of time. So we're really under a gun.
Yeah, that was what you explained. They've already missed the deadline.
Yep.
Quitting time at the quarry. Slide down the dinosaur. Bye-bye. Senator John
This is Kerry. Not finger pointing. This is simply saying that we are stuck
because we do not believe that the wealthiest people in America ought to get a huge tax cut when we're supposed to be doing deficit reduction, not tax cutting.
Yes, and 75% of the American people agree with you.
Math is a liberal bias.
Hmm. Senator Max Baucus, they're feeling angsty, though, so at least we have that to comfort mm-hmm. us.
Both sides are feeling angst and greater angst at the possibility of no agreement. So they're working harder, more creatively, to see what can be accomplished. It's happy on both sides.
We're angsty. Thanks for angsting.
And, of course, Mittens blaming the president.
He's been out doing other things, uh-huh. campaigning and
no, not that
blaming
one. We already played that
traveling.
One. Okay. We already played that one. Boy, Siri is getting so ready to fire you again. No. Here we go.
You have a president who didn't get involved in the process.
What?
Who didn't pick up the phones. Bring in the Republicans. Bring in the Democrats.
Moron.
Make a proposal of his own.
Mm. It's a congressional...
Yes, that's exactly why the
he
president...
He wasn't supposed to get involved. If he got involved, you complained that he was meddling.
Exactly. So we were just talking to Charlie Pierce about this... It's incredible, I know, but he's flip-flopped on something else. The Boston Globe uncovered that he deleted, destroyed emails, purchased hard drives, and otherwise obliterated all digital records of his time as governor of Massachusetts.
That's
Romney
odd.
And his campaign, by the way, so far have denied this.
No, he didn't.
And he...
Yes, we did. No, we didn't.
He flip-flopped.
No, we did, but we didn't.
Yes, in a fairly stunning admission during an interview.
They called him flip-flopped.
Romney suggested his administration deleted the emails because they didn't want opposition research teams to have access to them because it might... give further evidence to his flip-flopping, you
there
see.
There is an 18-and-a-half-minute gap. Because Rosemary Woods actually stepped on the pedal for 18-and-a-half minutes. That's the only logical explanation.
Mitt, we already know you're a giant flip-flopper.
No,
we don't
no.
really
yes,
even need
no,
anymore.
No. Shut up.
Electronic evidence. No, as he told us, he did. I don't see how a person could possibly be more.
More consistent.
I don't. You couldn't really... I couldn't... No more
no
consistent
human
being exists.
Be more consistent than I am. Actually, that's not true. Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
All right. Senator John Kyle on the Not-So-Super Committee.
Republicans put the only new idea on the table here. We put the breakthrough proposal on the table for tax reform, and we got nothing but rejection from the other side.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the elfin little Senator Jeff Sessions, who poked his little pointy ears out of his tree to say this.
The commander-in-chief is absent from battle. He needs to be leading in this. If he had told this debt committee, this 12, that he wanted an agreement, we would have had one.
Oh, come on.
You know what? We need more Mitt Milano. Why don't you head on back in the tree and get to work?
If the president had gotten involved, you would claim he was meddling in the process.
Actually, Pepperidge Farm makes Mitt Milano.
Yes. Oh, pardon me.
Keebler does not.
Pepperidge
no, they make pecan sandies.
Oh, I would like more pecan sandies, Mr. Sessions, please. Why don't you get something done in your life?
I got to go back to work making pecan sandies
fudge,
from my tree.
Fudge stripe cookies. Chips deluxe.
All right.
Welcome to cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris on cookies. Mm-hmm. That's the show now.
By the way, Chris, I know that you've been scrambling over there looking for that Mitt Romney.
I have it.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh, so you're not going to...
You're fired.
You're not going to... Okay, here it is.
The nice thing about writing a book is that I can lay out what I believe on a wide array of issues that face the country. And I think you'll find that I've been as consistent as human beings can be as I look at those issues and as I try to...
And the great thing about a book is I can edit it and change it. Yeah, and change it back again.
I'm as consistent as a human being can be. Wow. Wow. You know what? And I know Siri wouldn't have fired you anyway because she's very passive-aggressive, as we found.
That's right.
Every time I try, she goes, I do not know what you mean by fire, Chris Lawbot. Siri's my personal assistant in my iPhone, as you know.
Absolutely.
And this is going around the interwebs, the iPhone Siri argument.
Yes.
Hilarious.
We have a flat tire.
How do I tie a bow tie again?
What's the fastest way to Hartford Hospital?
Tell my wife I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
Tell my husband I'm not surprised.
Tell my wife if she has a problem with my work schedule, she's more than welcome to get a job of her own.
Tell my husband that I do just as much work as he does.
Tell my wife that if watching Ellen is a job... she should get a promotion.
Message from your husband. I appreciate you.
Well,
What did he actually say?
Please don't drag me into this.
Siri, call my husband.
Siri, ignore the call from my bitch wife.
Tell my husband that he said he'd respect my choice to stay at home with our child.
Tell my wife I would, but she can't even get around to washing his overalls.
Did you want me to search for flower shops nearby?
Tell my husband that at least when I sit on the washing machine, I...
Send my wife this picture and ask her if the washing machine is...
The only thing you've been sitting on lately. Oh, dear.
Ask my husband what he means by that.
Tell my wife I think she knows.
Hey, look. I Googled anger management techniques.
Tell my husband to think very carefully before he says whatever he's about to say.
Ask my wife if she's Jim McPherson.
Tell my husband how dare he.
Tell my wife that's not an answer.
Is this my fault?
Tell my husband that I will not answer that.
Ask my wife if she's Jim McPherson.
Searching for... A place to hide.
Tell my husband he wishes it was just Jim McPherson.
I don't want to.
Tell him.
Please don't make me.
Kill him.
Send my wife directions to hell.
You are a big slut.
Say goodbye to the most amazing iPhone yet.
And we put that up on the Stephanie Miller Show Facebook because
and your Google Plus page.
Because the searching for a place to hide, you see her drop a pin. In the,
yeah.
If you know it, if you have an iPhone, you know what I mean. It's searching for the where to go. Okay. Hilarious. Hey, speaking of hilarious,
what?
Herman Cain said something.
Oh, boy.
What day is it? Oh, Tuesday. So he said something Islamophobic?
Oh,
homophobic?
No.
Which kind of phobic did he say, Jim? Guess.
Islamophobic.
Ooh.
No, just Islamophobic.
Tough one to pull off.
Walker writing, in case it wasn't obvious already, Herman Cain's brief outreach to the Muslim community to atone for his unending list of inflammatory statements is definitely over. Visiting a Jesus-themed amusement park in Orlando, Cain gave a moving speech to visitors after the daily reenactment of the crucifixion about his experience battling colon cancer. Things got awkward once the topic turned to his choice of physician. He did have a slight worry, he said, at one point during the chemotherapy when he discovered that one of his surgeon's name was Dr. Abdullah.
Oh, no.
I said to his physician assistant, I said, that sounds foreign. Not that I have anything against foreign doctors, but it sounded too foreign, Cain tells the audience. She said he's from Lebanon. Oh, Lebanon. My mind immediately started thinking, wait a minute, maybe his religious persuasion is different than mine.
There are Christians in
Lebanon.
There
are tons of Catholics in Lebanon.
She could see the look on my face, and she said, don't worry, Mr. Cain. He's a Christian from Lebanon. Hallelujah, Cain said. Thank God. The crowd laughs uneasily.
God.
Yeah, how could you possibly be treated by someone of different religious persuasion? That would be heresy, wouldn't it? That would be... Wow, that was... Yikes. He's not the...
Wow.
He's not a Muslim-y kind of Muslim, is he? That's wow.
No. Yeah.
Mm.
You
okay.
know, Jesus healed people and he was a Jew.
What?
What did Henry Kissinger think about that? 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Check it out. Oh, it's a love letter from someone that just came to Sexy Liberal in Buffalo. Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
I get the sweetest letters.
Daphne Zuniga?
No, not Jim's former
different.
Roommate.
Oh, okay. We weren't roommates.
You were housemates.
Sharing a house
housemates.
With several people.
You were housemates.
Yeah.
Really now.
Nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
to my chagrin.
Thank you for the show in Buffalo, Steph. So wonderful to see you, John, and Hal in Buffalo Saturday night. The show was terrific. It was an unreal experience to meet the people to whom I've been listening for ages. I was watching as you greeted all the fans. You were so gracious, warm, and willing. See? I'm really nice.
When you're not drunk.
Yeah. That's why I was nice. I was drunk. Some famous people are such snobs, and they treat their fans with much disdain. No, I save that for the moobs.
Yeah.
You are so far away from that kind of behavior. I know I speak from everyone who loves your show
and
feels connected to you. When I say you're exactly how you come across on the radio. Genuine, funny, self-effacing, in other words, totally human. See? Well, I'm not on the road and drunk. I couldn't be nicer.
Mm.
come in here, you bastards hungover.
Mm-hmm.
You make us feel...
Then it's a horror show.
Ooh! Dafty, welcome to their world. Oh, let's see. You make us feel special by being kind to it and warm to us when at these shows. Thank you so much for that. Speaking of myself, I'm dealing with a beloved husband who's suffering from cognitive deficits that may or may not become something much, much more serious and sad. We've been married for 3 years. To have had those precious hours of laughter with you meant more than I can say. These letters make me cry. It's tough in upstate New York for lefties. We appreciate hearing people who feel as we do. God bless XM Radio. It's the only way we can get to hear you on the radio. Yes, because there's no market, apparently, for liberal thought of any kind.
Uh-huh.
And with podcasting, I never have to miss a word of your shows. Hump Days with Hal, Fridays with Fugle Sang make my week. Thanks for bringing them to us. You are all a blessing. Daphne, thank you very much. It's actually a much longer letter. It's very sweet. People share their stories. Oh, God, it's a big love fest. It's love and sex and magic. It really is.
I've heard.
Just saying. And,
at least that's what Justin Timberlake says.
Uh-huh. Fort Lauderdale, the last big show of 2011 and the tour that is slowly killing Mama. And then we'll be easing up on the pedal in 2000. They will be special, like, once a month or so events, and the first one kicking off in Portland, Oregon.
Rose City, get ready, because this year's most popular comedy tour is coming to the Beaver State.
Nice beaver.
Whee! Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is blazing the trail to Portland, Oregon.
Well, Portland, Oregon is...
Stephanie Miller.
That ain't love, then tell me what is
a Oregon.
Beaver,
baby,
cherry.
Beaver, cherry.
On January 7th, 2012, at the Newmark Theater, Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will mercilessly mock Republicans to the max. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Portland Center for Performing Arts box office at 503-432-2917.
Well, better than anything we have back in Portland, Oregon.
It's the perfect complement to an ice-cold Bridgeport brew.
Yeah, thank you. Sexy Liberal Facebook, some new, great new pictures up from Buffalo and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And, all right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing.
We've gone this long without doing it.
It's a particularly noxious one today, isn't it? Equal dollops of what? Racism and...
Yeah.
God, it's lots of isms. It's a sea of isms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Frank Luntz and the Fox News anchor on Newt Gingrich.
He talked to Newt Gingrich, and he took you from a question, I believe, to Occupy Wall Street. Now, how did that happen?
Well, he's always the star of these debates. He either comes in first or second in every one, and this one was one of his key moments when he just... basically smacks the moderator around, and the audience loved it. Our job as moderators is not to pick a fight, and it's not to try to cause them to go at each other. It's to try to get at the real truth, and that was my goal in these sessions. Mm. And I think that perhaps I did nod too much.
Well, sometimes when you nod your head, it shows the interviewee that you're in agreement with them.
And that's what
could cause someone to be encouraged with an answer.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that I should not have done.
Aha!
You were awful, Frank Luntz.
He was so bad as a moderator. Sweaty, too.
By the way,
sorry, you the most awesome guy ever, Newt.
Or what?
Yeah,
those are the two options. Most awesome guy ever, or what?
Yeah, a fanboy should never moderate a debate.
Yeah, he's like the Chris Farley of the Republican debate.
Remember that one time when he said that thing? That was awesome.
Like this thing, for instance. Jim, who said go out and talk to people who are really successful in one generation? They all started their first job at 9 to 14.
That would be Newt Ass. I'm sorry, Gingrich.
Oh, you're not supposed to get a break, but that's great. Oh, here's some good news before we continue with Right Wing World. Newt Gingrich will teach a course when he's president.
Yeah, frankly. Teaching course.
He'll hold an online
battery.
Course. I think he...
It only cost $1 million.
Yeah.
Frankly. I think I will probably teach a course.
Frankly.
Oh, great. More of your wisdom. Awesome.
I think I will probably try to do something that outlines for the whole country what we're going to try to accomplish. It's an offer online, sort of like University of Phoenix.
Putting 9-year-olds to work.
So anyone in the country wants to can sign up. It'll be free of you.
I'll be free.
Although, again, the news media's assumption about people who might charge $100 a piece so I can get rich. No, it'll be
free. Hilarious.
A nation of 9-year-old janitors, the special magic that Newt Gingrich will bring to us.
Right. Are there no workhouses, frankly?
Uh-huh.
Okay. We need to decrease the surplus population, frankly. So a good way to start is to put 9-year-olds to work in factories where they can lose limbs and bleed to death. I think that'd be fantastic, frankly.
Yeah, he called child labor laws stupid.
Yeah, stupid.
Stupid.
Okay. All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear. clever the president is.
Obama wants an issue on which he can run. He doesn't have any other issue. He can't run on stewardship with 9% unemployment. Mm-hmm. He can't run on ideology after Obamacare and the stimulus and cap and trade. He's going to run on, I'm against the 1%. I'm the one who's against the Republicans who protect the plutocrats. And that's why the failure occurred.
Okay, let's just leave that lady. Tony Katz, radio host on
Fox? Yeah, he's
Fox
a far-right radio host.
Really? Mm-hmm. So odd he'd get a booking on Fox.
There's no such thing as income inequality. The stockbroker makes more than the school teacher, and the school teacher exists off the excesses of the stockbroker and the capitalist and the people who pay into the system to allow the educator to exist. That's the reality. They're not engaged in reality. They're engaged in fantasy and engaged in violent rhetoric and activity.
Stockbrokers allow the educator to exist.
That's violent rhetoric right there.
We allow you to exist. We don't kill you because we don't feel like it right now, but we will someday.
Why are right-wing hosts all so yelly?
I don't know.
They're just yelly. Yeah.
They're just jealous because they have all this money. Shut up!
Welcome to the Yelly McYellerson Show.
Oh, believe me, I put my time in right-wing talk radio. I know from yelly. How do you think I got so deaf?
He went to the Bill Cunningham School of Broadcasting?
Yes.
Just say it loud, and people will think it's true. Okay. You know what? I may do the whole next segment on that bullhorn.
Oh, please don't. Please don't.
All right, Bill O'Reilly and, oh, no.
Yeah, here it is.
This is what we've been waiting for. And Megyn Kelly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
First of all, pepper spray. That just burns your eyes, right?
Right. I mean, it's like a derivative of actual pepper. It's a food product, essentially. Yes. But a lot of experts are looking at that and saying, is that the real deal? Has it been diluted because...
Yeah, they should have more of a reaction than that.
What?
It's a food product. It should be classified as a vegetable in school lunches.
Paprika.
We should serve our 9-year-old janitors pepper spray for lunch because it's a food product.
Yeah. Let's squirt Tapatio in Megyn Kelly's eyes and see how she likes it. It's just a food product.
You are an idiot.
God.
The Stephanie Miller Show, which is to
one of
say
people
the news
were hospitalized because they were coughing up blood.
Tim Ward after we don't actually want.
No, you know what? We kind of do.
Yeah. No, we don't.
We kind of do.
Newsbusters, just write this down. It's not me. It's them.
If she's saying it's
a food product,
let's show her what kind of food product it is.
Go get pepper sprayed in the eyes and see how you like it.
Yeah.
You violent leftist thugs. I'm with you, Newsbusters.
I want to kick her in the...
Stop it.
What?
That's Aisha Tyler's job. Sean Hannity.
Now he's blaming the American people. He's saying the American people are lazy. American people have gotten soft.
What? Who says that?
Now you think about it. The list is long. Kiosks, ATM machines, tsunamis, earthquakes. When all else fails, you blame Bush. But now he's taking a tact I've never seen a politician take. He's blaming the American people.
No, he's
they've
not.
Gotten lazy. They've gotten soft. He's done it on multiple occasions.
No,
he hasn't.
He said he didn't say the American people.
No.
All right, then.
Well, that's what Norquist said. Oh, no, they took a pledge to the American people. No, it took a pledge to you.
Yep.
Okay.
Dillweed.
Dillweed? Hey, we picked another spice. It's a food product. Yeah. It's not a dirt. It's not a bad name. It's a
great
food product.
Pepper spray.
Okay, wow. Rush Limbaugh went and said it, huh? And said the word? Really? Called Michelle Obama uppity?
Yeah, but not in a racist way.
No.
We don't like being told how much to exercise. We don't like being told what we've got to drive. We don't like wasting money. We don't like our economy being bankrupted. We don't like 14% unemployment. The question is, what the hell is there to cheer for when Miss Obama and Miss Biden show up? NASCAR people, as are most people in this country... are mature, tolerant people who fully understand when they're being insulted and condescended to.
Mm-hmm.
They understand it's a little bit of uppity-ism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see, because there's an ism on him. It's not a racist thing to say.
Right,
because he did this with his hands, you see. So it's,
I say, and she was being uppity by the announcer saying, ladies and gentlemen, the First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama. So she didn't really even say anything.
Right.
She was just there.
She said, gentlemen, start your engines.
But she was sitting there all black
in,
and
in an uppity way.
Yeah.
In a black way.
As if she had a right to be there, being all black.
Newsbusters has the cojones today.
So she said it in a condescending way, gentlemen, start your engines?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
yeah, she put quotes around gentlemen. So,
which
makes sense, actually, considering the reaction.
And then Newsbusters has the cojones today to suggest that it's not racist when you say the black First Lady is uppity.
What?
Huh? Why?
Huh? Explain.
It's only racist when you call Herman Cain uppity.
What?
What? All right, you know what? I speak for Jim and I both when I say, what? And we'll just end there.
They're
we
not very smart over there at Newsbusters.
No, they're not strong thinkers. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch.
Stephanie Bush. I'm here. Nobody help. Yeah. 23 minutes okay? after the hour. We return to David Bender in a few minutes because we won't be here, obviously, on Thursday. It's Thanksgiving. It'll be delightful best of. Enjoy. Yeah. Eat up.
Nom, nom, nom.
Don't forget to heat it up. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12. Oh, by the way, Thanksgiving question from Julie in Seattle. Mom, are you planning to test your relationship by cooking up a batch of your infamous black and fried sauerkraut for Lisa this year?
Yeah. Computer says no.
No, I'm going to... We're going away. I'm sparing her that. I think it's too young. The relationship is too young for the burnt sauerkraut. You loved it. I only burned it that one year.
Okay. A, I'm not a fan of sauerkraut, period.
It's delicious.
And B, burned sauerkraut?
I think it's time that I do my yearly sauerkraut recipe. It's my Polish sauerkraut.
Never been a fan of sauerkraut.
No.
I like red cabbage. That's good stuff.
People love it. You just saw you chop up mushrooms, onions, saute in bacon fat.
Good.
That's magic.
Yeah, if you leave the sauerkraut out, that sounds good.
No. And then you boil the sauerkraut like 20 minutes, and then you drain the water, and then you put it in, you stir fry it in the thing.
Stir fry it?
You stir fry it with all the stuff.
And then you tie it all up with minced dental floss. And,
no, that's the turkey. Okay, I didn't have anything to trust my turkey one year. We all know the story. Turkey was minty fresh that year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my point is...
And waxy.
Yeah, my friends aren't any better cooks. You remember Wanda? One year she actually put the turkey together with nails.
Nails?
Yeah. Because
you can't do that?
Yeah, and I did, like, before the other guests saw it, I had to pull them all out with a hammer.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, and then the secret ingredient in the sauerkraut, dill. Okay. Just saying. Okay, delicious. Stir it up. Yum, 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 yum. All right. People wait for that recipe every year. I'm just telling you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wow. This might... I don't know, Lisa. This might be my future wife list. Drunk woman knees cop in the groin and smiles for epic mugshot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Donna.
Saw that.
She did the double thumbs up in the smile.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. She's awesome. Drunk and disorderly 24-year-old Arizona resident Michelle Watson seems to understand that these days driving your car on the sidewalk and kicking a police officer in the crotch isn't enough on its own to make news.
No.
What you need is a stellar mugshot, and Watson delivers. She's not Roger Ebert, but Michelle Watson's still giving herself two thumbs up while being booked following her spirited driving and even more spirited arrest in Prescott, Arizona. Witnesses tell police Watson was driving her Honda Civic in the middle of the road, onto numerous curbs, and finally onto the sidewalk while trying to park.
What? All of this while trying to park?
The first officer on the scene describes her as belligerent, says she used profane language in her refusal of a sobriety test. Hmm. After some tussling...
Yeah.
There was tussling with the original officer. A fellow officer helped to arrive to help subdue her. Here's where Watson does her best Rockette impression. Watson was wearing a purse which was draped over her shoulder. Wing attempted to remove the purse. When doing so, Watson, using her right knee, struck Officer Wing in the crotch. Watson was then taken to the ground and placed in handcuffs. She refused to get up and had to be carried to the patrol car. What an interesting blend of passive non-resistance and testicle swatting.
Yeah.
Is this
wow,
Gawker?
Kind of course, if I'd done that, I would have been shot. But
yeah,
she's
Gawker.
A cute chick, so...
you know what? You'd expect her to be a total meth head, but she's... I mean,
no!
She looks, yeah,
wait,
relatively
there's
attractive.
More, Jim. She's feisty. Once in custody, she began to kick the interior of the patrol car, so they had to further restrain her. When she finally arrived at jail, she registered a blood alcohol level 3 times the legal limit.
Whee!
Was she as pleased with herself when she sobered up and realized she's facing a charge of aggravated assault on a police officer? Hard to know for sure. But if she's the same Michelle Watson from Prescott with his public Facebook profile, she celebrated her release by going drinking.
Drinking.
See,
no, she went to see Twilight Breaking Dawn.
Oh, I wouldn't have been released if had that been the case.
She had a cute mugshot, though. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
All right.
It was adorable.
We were just listening to some blatant racism in Right Wing World from Rush Limbaugh, among others. Julie's, I think this might be a plot, Jim. Have you seen this picture of Herman Cain in his giant hat? Julie says, it can never be said by white people in public, but in my opinion, that big black broad-rimmed hat with a braid of leather that the Herman Cain sports is a direct provocation to make pimp hat jokes.
Come to think of it,
Cain's probably wearing it just to make us Democrats say racist stuff.
Probably. I've thought it.
Well, the hat's ridiculous.
I mean,
he does
hasn't?
Not look cute in that hat. No one looks cute in that hat. He could be on the super committee.
I'm super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing but
all right.
Me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Computer says no.
No, you don't. No. Hey, here's real racism.
What?
GOP debate sponsor said black children were worse off under Obama than during slavery. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's this group.
Right.
Curiously missing from the Sunday show buzz over the debate is the fact that in July, the debate sponsors authored a pledge that asserted, among other things, that, quote, a child born into slavery in 1860 was more likely to be raised by his mother and father in a two-parent household than was an African-American baby born after the election of the USA's first African-American president.
Wow, that couldn't be more wrong.
Wrong and racist. More children, wrong or more racist?
Children were stolen from parents and sold. Mm.
We'll discuss the levels of wrong on that and return to Bender as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You adorable little creature. Oh, yes.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ross writes, Steph, when I first turned into your marvelous show several years back, you were giving lots of airplay to a mashed up musical built on people screaming shut up at each other. Mm-hmm. Could you play it again? Why, yes, you remember. Back when, apparently, we hadn't won any elections and we were just supposed to
shut up.
Oh, ah, yes. Oh, I believe
until you win elections,
yeah,
then
I believe
you
that
can
was,
say whatever you want.
That was based on.
But then we won an election, and still, and we're supposed to shut up.
Shut up! Just shut up! Just go away, bury yourselves in your rat holes, and don't come out till you win an election. When you win election, you can put all these socialist wackos like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer all over the court. But until then, shut up!
Okay. All right. By the way, we were talking about this Republican debate sponsor. That was the one that said black children were worse off under Obama than they were under slavery.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Michelle Bachman and Rick Santorum, they're pledge signing fools, aren't they? They signed that pledge from the family leader that had that in it. The group deliberately sought to draw that comparison between the slave era and the presidency of Barack Obama using a study that said nothing of the kind, which was published 4 years before President Obama even took office. But otherwise,
Wow.
Hmm. Oh, another funny Michelle Bachman thing. She was on which show last
Jimmy
night?
Fallon. She was on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon last night, and she told some corny jokes and whatever. But that's according to Mediaite, her entrance music, which of course is instrumental, was a song by Fishbone called Lion Ass Bitch.
Oops.
Yeah.
By the way, I love this piece in Gawker. How badly did Michelle Bachman screw up her autobiography? Badly. Presidential candidate Congresswoman Michelle Bachman's new memoir, Core of Conviction, is out. Here are some of the wrong things Bachman wrote in her book about herself.
She
got even facts about herself wrong.
Oh, dear.
She says her first run for state Senate began organically. Oh, much like the Tea Party. Yeah. She was drafted to run on the spot after speaking at a nominating convention. She said, I was just doing my duty as citizen, speaking out like it was that wonderful Norman Rockwell painting from the 40s, Freedom of Speech. Gawker saying, it's not every day you read people actually openly claiming to be like a heroic character from a Rockwell painting. The weird thing about that spontaneous Rockwellian moment of Democratic action was that she brought pro-Bachman campaign signs with her and had repeatedly threatened to run for the seat in the lead-up to the convention.
Doesn't sound very spontaneous now, does it?
It's been made beforehand, one would think.
Yeah, weird. Bachman helped found a public charter school in Stillwater, Minnesota, with a bunch of Christian activists, but she insists that, quote, she never sought to impose Christianity on our students, which is true. She only sought to impose, quote, 20 principles of Christian management, not to mention creationism on the students.
Wow.
Totally different things.
Hmm.
The book's most touching moment? George W. Bush's heartfelt advice to her on her entry into the political arena. The president looked at me and said, room temperature water is healthier.
It's right.
What?
What? You don't want to get too cold. Gives your brain freeze.
One can only imagine what
you and I don't have enough brain to freeze.
meant.
Didn't put together.
Remember, we always said that was where we came up with the original. We always wondered what was in George Bush's thought bubble.
Just... I like toast and room temperature water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I like killing frogs. Mm-hmm. Boom! Shocking awe.
I just imagine him getting a brain freeze from eating an otter pop.
I think so.
Yeah.
One that is particularly grapey.
Except Republicans would have grapey. Actual otters, dude. I'd bite the heads off of actual otters.
I remember Jim Ward lines from years ago. Yeah. He was, I believe George Bush was enjoying a sucker on his favorite rug, Ruggy.
Yeah.
And he just said, grapey.
Grapey.
Really grapey.
I like Ruggy. It's optimistical.
It's optimistical rug.
Yeah. It was yellow. Bright yellow.
Purple grapey on my yellow rug.
Oh, I miss him. Okay. Gawker also, alerting us to more right-wing comedy.
Uh-oh.
Trillion-dollar bank uses Occupy Wall Street as a laugh line.
Oh, boy, great.
The quote is from BNY Mellon. They have 225.9 trillion in assets, headquartered in New York. They wrote, we don't mean to brag, but we've been occupying Wall Street for 227 years. In an ad, a Wall Street Journal reporter photographed at last Friday's Financial Follies, the super hilarious, funny night of things that people who work in and cover finance think are hilarious. 227 years without being overrun by an angry populist mob, huh? That's impressive. BNY Mellon, corporate headquarters, 1 Wall Street, New York, New York.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gawker, for that. For that helpful, helpful advice.
God.
About where they happen to be located. All right. Ooh, this could be good news for me, Chris. Gail King is deserting Oprah's own network for her own CBS show. She's doing the new show with, Charlie Rose and Erica Hill. You know what that means. Oprah might just hire me again. Because I did kill her last network, but it's been a long time. And I only had 2 shows on it, so I'm just saying.
So you'll be the new Gail King?
Yeah, if Gail's gone, I could, that could be a big gaping hole that I could...
Didn't they basically just kind of simulcast her radio show on that network?
No, I think that was a different show. I could be wrong.
You're thinking of Larry King.
No, I think they simulcast Gail King's, 1 hour of her radio show. Hmm. That was the Gail King show on OWN, so...
Hmm. Really?
So they could simulcast maybe an hour of
your
show,
what
Stephanie.
A magical idea that would be. Huh? Okay.
Hmm.
All right.
Run that up the flagpole.
All right. The superficial reporting, Ashton Kutcher tried to buy Demi Moore a car to save their marriage.
All right.
I think she can afford her own car.
Yeah, that's number one. Number one, duh. Oh, wow, something expensive. Wow, I couldn't have.
Yeah, everything's fine now.
Reportedly bought her $100,000-plus Lexus to save their marriage. And by the way, superficial saying the same thing you did, which is stupid because it's not like she can't buy herself one. Then again, I honestly don't know what Demi Moore does these days, and her face is 80% polymer, so maybe she can't. superficial writing. Seriously, you banged another woman on your anniversary, and a car is what you come up with? A car? Oh, I don't know. How about a time machine that collides into your before it enters a random... That might have saved his marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Something might have prevented him. Oh, damn. Yes.
Well, according to Radar Online, she likes the lady parts as
Really? As well?
Yes.
Who doesn't like variety?
Has nothing to complain about, really, in a way.
Yeah.
If she's been
playing, you know, that side of the field.
I don't know. That was what Radar was saying, that they had the, what do they call it these days? What are the kids calling it? The open marriage.
Yeah.
They had the, I don't know if that's true.
So then there's really no cheating involved if it's an open marriage.
I wonder if the Siri bit was based on Ashton and Demi. That was.
Yeah, could be.
Can we play it again? I love it so much.
Okay.
You can. The visual is funny, too. It's up on our Facebook page, the iPhone Siri argument. We love it.
We have a flat tire.
How do I tie a bow tie again?
What's the fastest way to Hartford Hospital?
Tell my wife I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
Tell my husband I'm not surprised.
Tell my wife if she has a problem with my work schedule, she's more than welcome to get a job of her own.
Tell my husband that I do just as much work as he does.
Tell my wife that if watching Ellen is a job, she should get a promotion.
Message from your husband. I appreciate you.
Well, what did he actually say?
Please don't drag me into this.
Siri, call my husband.
Siri, ignore the call from my bitch wife.
Tell my husband that he said he'd respect my choice to stay at home with our child.
Tell my wife I would, but she can't even get around to washing his overalls.
Did you want me to search for flower shops nearby?
Tell my husband that at least when I sit on the washing machine, I...
Send my wife this picture and ask her if the washing machine is...
The only thing you've been sitting on lately. Oh, dear.
Ask my husband what he means by that.
Tell my wife I think she knows.
Hey, look, I googled anger management techniques.
Tell my husband to think very carefully before he says whatever he's about to say.
Ask my wife if she's Jim McPherson.
Tell my husband how dare he.
Tell my wife that's not an answer.
Is this my fault?
Tell my husband that I will not answer that.
Ask my wife if she's Jim McPherson.
Searching for... A place to hide.
Tell my husband he wishes it was just Jim McPherson.
I don't want to.
Tell him.
Please don't make me.
Do it.
Send my wife directions to hell.
Yeah!
Directions to hell.
Say goodbye to the most amazing iPhone yet.
You are a whore.
The chat room wants to know if that was your mom reading the Oh Dear.
No, I was like serious about my mom's Oh Dear.
Oh Dear.
Oh Dear. Oh Dear. Wow. Wow. Jim, you reported this yesterday because the Stephanie Miller newscast, the newscast ahead of its time. But I'm telling you, this Natalie Wood, that this is, just gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
That stuff is cut. How long ago was this?
30 years ago. Yeah, and this woman was saying that, oh, yeah,
well,
I
that's
heard her
weird.
Cries for help.
But the other thing is, like, I'm going, why didn't you do anything? Like,
yeah.
This whole story is so weird. Yeah, police have reopened the investigation into the drowning death of actress Natalie Wood. A witness has come forward to say she heard the actress screaming for help on the night she died. Marilyn Wayne, California, she was boating in the same area that night, approximately 40 yards away from the Splendor. Wouldn't you try to
fire up the engines, maybe, and pull the anchor and head in the direction of the screams?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Find some lights in the water? And
at least shine some lights.
She did, no, she did that.
Shore patrol?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. The yacht, she heard a woman's cries for help. A woman's voice, she said, crying for help from drowning awakened John, and he awakened me. Help me. Someone please help me. I'm drowning. We heard repeatedly. Alarmed, I called out to my son. Wouldn't you think this seems like a situation that might be somewhat, you know,
urgent,
time-sensitive?
Like something, yeah. Need to get...
Please help me. I'm drowning. Alarmed, I called out to my son, who also heard the cries and looked at his new digital watch. It was minutes after 11 p.m., Payne turned on the sailboat's beam light and played it over the area while she went up onto the deck. She said she was unable to see anything. While listening to the cries, we called Harbor Patrol. But, again, wouldn't you think there's not time?
You have a boat. Go.
I know.
Although a sailboat isn't the easiest thing to get up and running.
Is it a sailboat?
Does they have a sailboat? She just said it was a sailboat.
Well, but there's still an onboard motor.
They're still an onboard. But you have to pull up anchor. I mean, it's not the easiest thing to...
Yeah.
It's not like a dinghy.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's exclusively her fault, obviously,
right.
But it just this
right.
whole story is so... But you have to wonder if that's why people didn't talk, because whether it was the captain or whatever, because they were part of, you know, not...
Well, the captain suggested that Robert Wagner told him to not search
for Natalie. Well, that's what I'm getting to that.
Yeah.
Hang on. This gets just worse and worse. She says, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yeah, she says, we called the Harbor Patrol, no one answered. Then we called the sheriff's office in Avalon. But again, how long is that going to take? They're on land?
Yeah.
12 miles away, whoever answered told us the helicopter would be sent, but it didn't come.
That would take an hour.
We heard loud music
at
coming.
Night.
Yeah, we heard loud music coming from somewhere. We thought there was a party on a nearby boat. Then I heard a man's voice slurred and in an aggravated tone say something defective. Oh, hold on, we're coming to get you. Not long after the cries for help subsided, and we heard the cries for up to 15 minutes. We returned to bed, terribly disturbed, but we still went back to bed. I mean, it's just this is. She says she doesn't believe the initial investigation was thorough enough, you think? Police never interviewed her.
Huh,
and she received a threatening note cautioning her to keep quiet about what she knew.
From whom?
She said, after all I've learned since my own direct experience with the death of Natalie, I'm stunned that Robert Wagner has never been properly interrogated in regards to Natalie Wood's death. In my opinion, Natalie Wood's case is one of the top most botched cases of the 20th century. I mean, they reportedly had a volatile relationship. They had been married and divorced twice.
But at least Wagner threw out a reverse mortgage.
Stop it. Jim Louise.
So that's a kind of a lifeline in a way, I suppose.
The captain of the Splendor, Dennis Davern, said he believes Wagner is to blame. He said, yes, I would say so. He admitted he may have been at fault as well, saying, we didn't take any steps to see if we could locate her. It was a matter of don't look too hard, don't turn on the searchlight, don't call anyone. He also admitted he lied to officials in the initial police report. Well, that may be why he never... Because he considered Wagner's friend. He was trying to cover up, but he also was part of it.
He was also a Wagner employee. Robert Wagner was paying him to captain the boat.
Right. And then the other thing that I hadn't, you know, heard all the detail, well, obviously it's been a while, but she had dozens of bruises on her body, according to the autopsy, including injuries to her face and arms. I mean, how is that not... Why I just never could understand why this was, this is not suspicious at all. It's like, what?
Not to play devil's advocate here, but that could have come from, you know, her body banging up against rocks or something.
Yeah. Wood's aversion to water was famous. She couldn't swim and once said in a TV interview her greatest fear was of dark seawater.
I saw that clip, actually. They played that clip the other day.
I don't know. We'll see. That's just a lot of, you know, just weird, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, I hate to say it, but remember William Shatner, his wife drowned in the...
That was very odd.
And it was the same thing that he went and called whatever. It's like, what? Jump in the pool! Like, he saw her in the pool, and I'm like, I mean, what did he call Priceline? I'm sorry, so you started it, but it said he took time and then he called whoever. It's like, wouldn't if it were you when you jump in? And I don't
know. I guess you don't know until you're in that situation.
I suppose.
Yeah, but there were two strange interviews after the part where he didn't seem perturbed at all.
Yeah, there later, were plenty of strange things about that whole situation.
You know, after the... I don't know.
All right. 48 minutes after the hour, we return to David Bender next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks tomorrow on our last day before our Thanksgiving vacation. By the way, thank you, Jim from Chicago, for standing up for my sauerkraut recipe that everybody loves, except the stupid Mooks.
Ugh.
Hi, Steph and the Mooks. Steph gave us the recipe a couple years ago, and since then, going on 3 holiday seasons, my wife serves it every holiday season, plus 4 or 5 times during the winter. Ugh. Our 30-some family Christmas guests love and request Mama Kraut.
Mama Kraut.
Trademark Stephanie Miller Show. It's terrific. I've even helped in the preparation just to get it a few more times. One tip is to leave cut pieces of bacon in it with the crumb. Wow.
That's really Polish.
Well, I stir fried in bacon fat. Also a little oil. Not just bacon fat, Jim, just so you know.
Well, bacon pieces, that sounds good.
There you go. All right.
Okay. I don't believe I've ever made it from my house, husband.
How lucky he is.
David Bender,
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Yay. Good morning, David Bender.
I want my mama kraut.
Yay.
I do. Sexy mama kraut. Don't those things go well together?
Yes. By the way, David Bender, I won't be here Thursday because we'll be eating my Thanksgiving sauerkraut.
That's right.
He's here today. Wanda and I have been busily nailing your turkey together already. So I just want you to know I will be working on Thursday for you.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, nailing your turkey.
Oh, thank you, honey. I appreciate that. And you were working for me. We had our big show pony book meetings in New York.
I still have saddle sores from from that merry-go-round.
I'm hearing multiple offers, my friend.
Well,
you know that you're this close to being the dead screenwriter floating face down in my pool.
You know you always hear a lot of multiple voices in your head, so I'm really not sure this is any different.
Now, you know that I miss you because you know we would be having cocktails tonight at 5 p.m. Pacific and watching
the Republican debate on national security.
On foreign policy? Oh, I can't wait to hear Herman Cain's thoughts.
It's well, you're going to have to,
yeah.
Because it's a long wait. He doesn't know them, so,
yes.
they may show up. They may be, actually, I think they're in the lining of the hat.
Yeah.
That's where he keeps them. That's the reason for the hat. There could be a little, it's better than the bulge in Bush's jacket.
Yeah, when I heard his last thing, David, I really was just like, oh, God, can we just put this primary out of its misery when he said, oh, the Taliban's in charge in Libya?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, and Chris, I heard your geography lesson there, you know? It's they're not adjacent.
No, they're quite a ways away from each other.
Oh, dear.
You've got to go a long distance. So this is going to be fun, and it's going to be Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah.
We'll have to leave it there. He'll have to leave everything there so as not to seem partisan in any way.
No.
Exactly. We wouldn't want to do that. We are fair and unbalanced here at CNN. It should be an interesting spectacle. But the fact that Michelle Bachmann did Jimmy Fallon and John Huntsman was on SNL this past week.
Yeah, it's on that.
This is are we seeing a trend here? I mean, is Rick Santorum going to pop up on what? The View? What's next?
He'll float up somewhere.
Yeah, that's what. Did you see someone said Newt Gingrich is floating up? Which what else floats up? He's a big giant floater in the Republican field.
I'm not going there. I am not going there. But he is the whale, and someone is going to go after him. There's an Ahab waiting for Newt Gingrich. And the truth is, that's why I don't want this Republican silly season to be over at all, because there's still so much opposition research that these people have dug up on one
another. Heavens, you know what? Santorum could still float up, which would seem...
He absolutely could. Oh, just wait. Iowa. And the Huntsman has planted himself in New Hampshire.
By the way, Iowa is going to be a clown car pileup. Have you ever seen a primary like this? They're all in a dead heat, pretty much.
Yes, I have. And the thing is, because it's a caucus, it's what really winds up happening, and remember, we were there with Howard Dean, is who motivates their people to turn out. And Ron Paul's people are very motivated.
I know.
Those people are zealous.
That'll be hilarious when he wins Iowa. Yeah. David Bender, I'm sorry we're out of time, precious. It's a hard break, as they say in the radio business.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You too, David.
Happy Thanksgiving, David Bender. There he goes, the David Benda. All right, don't forget tomorrow, Hump Day, Sexy Liberal House Sparks.
Yep.
It's a happy day.
Yay.
Happy clappy day.
Yay.
We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.